can say it, part two of God's way of healing, God's healing God's way, because we're going to exemplify faith, and then I'm going to give you a sub-emphasis of healing and humility. Healing and humility. Praise God. Now, what I need from you is your attention and your faith. That means you stay focused, right? And then your faith. That means everything that gets out is not dependent upon the speaker, upon the pastor. The utterance is more so and equally so dependent on who? The hearer. So we gotta work together to pull out what God wants to give out to us today. Amen. And those of you online, don't just chill out and be scrolling through your social media while you're watching us or watching TV or just being casual. You gotta take the word more than just casually. Amen. Somebody say amen. So everybody say, Lord, I have ears to hear. I have eyes to see what you want me to see in Jesus' name. All right. Our opening scriptures, the next slide, guys, is Psalms 103, verse 1 through 3. We're going to read those together. Ready, read. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Now, what do they include? Verse 3, who forgives all your iniquities and heals all your what? Diseases. Amen. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Now, he didn't exclude anything when it pertains to your sin. Everybody say, thank God. But what also, he didn't exclude anything that concerns your diseases. Anything you've been diagnosed, everything you've been dealing with, it's included in your benefits. Everybody say, praise the Lord. All right, Psalms 107, verse 20. He sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. Amen. Everybody say praise God. So every time we're teaching the word, and particularly the healing word, but the word of God contains medicine. Heavenly medicine for all your flesh. Praise the Lord. All right, Jeremiah 30:17, the first part of that. Ready? Read. I will give you back your health and heal your wounds, says the Lord. Now, who's saying this? The Lord. Who is the Lord? We defined it earlier this month. He is Jehovah Rapha, the Lord your physician, the Lord your healer. Now, again, some of us need to still take our eyes off the doctor, the specialist, the whoever they are, cardiologists, rheumatologists, endocrinologists. Go down the list, right? Nephrologists, get your eyes off of them. Get your eyes on the Lord. Get your eyes off of them and get your eyes on the Lord. Don't be panting and puffing around the house waiting to what the doctor's going to say, what the doctor's going to do. Get your eyes off of them. Get your eyes on the Lord. Amen. Because he says what? I will give you back your what? Now, he might use them, but he wants you to look to him. Don't look to them. Look to him. Praise the Lord. Matthew 8:17. Ready? Read. That it might be but fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, he himself took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses. Who did? I'm the one who did it. Jesus, the Lord, did it. The same cross he got took away our sin. He also paid for redemption and deliverance from our sicknesses and disease. Praise the Lord. So look to him. Don't look. You get anticipated. Some people get so amped up or anxious going to see a doctor. What's the doctor going to say? Instead of looking at what the Lord has said. Somebody say praise the Lord. All right, 1 Peter 2:24. Ready? Read. Who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes you were what? Healed. So these are just some, not all, but some of the foundational scriptures that promise healing and provide faith for us to believe and receive healing. We're talking about faith for healing. And so if you want to receive healing by faith, you got to eat faith food or put your faith in healing scriptures that promise. And when it's a promise of healing, there's provision in that promise to heal you. I remember one of our instructors at Bible College says there's enough power in 1 Peter 2:24 to heal everybody. So just that one verse at the bottom can clear out University Hospital, Methodist. Come on, Baptist. Praise God. Somebody say, praise the Lord. The VA can clear out all of them. There's enough power in 1 Peter 2:24 to heal you and everybody that pertains to you. Somebody say, praise the Lord. And we said it before, healing always comes, but it's not always received. Now, just us reading these five scriptures, healing's come. Healing is here. It's in the very atmosphere. But what does your faith do? What does your faith do, brother? It reaches up and reaches out to receive it. Faith's a taker. Faith's a receiver. Hallelujah. Because when a person is in doubt, fear, or unbelief, or a person is in hope, he's not in faith. Because he comes to church or comes to a service wishing and perhaps even hoping to be healed. Now, that's not a bad place to start, but that's not the right place to be. You got to have faith to receive. Amen. Hope's a good waiter, but it's a poor receiver. Hope puts your desire to be healed or to remove that pain or that problem in your body or your mind or your flesh in the future. Faith is now. Praise God. Praise God. Faith always is always present. We said that this test of faith. Are you in faith to receive your healing? Well, faith is always present. And it takes and receives the blessing now. Everybody say that with me. Faith is always present. And it takes and receives the blessing now. So even though, if, for example, if I lay hands on you in Jesus' name and say, be healed, receive your healing, you take it then. No matter what your body is doing or how it's feeling, you took it then. You would say this just in general sense, to be specific. On March 23rd, Sunday, March 23rd, I believed and received and took my healing. No matter if I'm still gimping along, no matter if the pain is still there, I always pass the test of faith by saying it's present, and I take the blessing when? Now. And most people, when they call or when they talk to you, they say, pray that I may get healed. Even your relatives, they'll send prayer requests through you. You'll bring them up to us. But most people are in hope. I hope they get better. They're not in faith. Because the test of faith is you believe, and it's now. You're not wavering about it. You're not going back home to look and see, did they get better? Did they get delivered? How they feeling? Well, you didn't pass the test of faith. Woo! Praise the Lord. See, takes the blessing now without physical or visible evidence, sight or sign. So this is going to help many of us because we got to pass the test of faith. God says all you need to access and appropriate healing, divine healing, is F-I-A-T-H. Grace is what provided healing. Faith is what takes and receives healing. Grace comes from God. That's why you can't buy healing. You can't merit healing. You can't say, I deserve healing. Right? You can't do that. You have to realize that healing belongs to you because of what Jesus has done. By his stripes, we were healed. Not by your doing any good works. By his stripes, you're healed. So grace made healing available. Whew, glory to God. But your faith has to take the healing that God has made available. And see, Hebrews 11:6 says, without faith, it's impossible to please God. Why doesn't God please? Because God is not pleased when his children, you and me, are not receiving. And God, number two, is not pleased when our faith is not overcoming that pain, that problem, that predicament that you're in, physically or mentally or emotionally. God's not pleased when his children are being overcome instead of living as the overcomer. Woo, I'm preaching better than y'all saying amen. Somebody say, praise the Lord. All divine healing starts in your spirit by faith. Healing does not flow from your body. That's another thing people got to get straightened out because most people so concentrated on how they feel. How you feeling? We talked about that quite extensively last week. But your body is not the source of healing, but it is the recipient of healing. Your body is not the, so you don't check and see or feel and see if my heart's better or if my muscles are better or if my knees are better or if my hips are better or if my back is better. I'm not going by sight or a sign. If I'm going by faith, then I believe the word that promises and provides that healing. Faith gives action to the power of God. Well, that was enough to get your hair combed and come to church this morning. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Well, these guys got out ahead of me. They went to the next slide. So, all right, let's get to it. All right, Hebrews 11:22. And Jesus answered and said to them, have faith in what? Faith in who? Come on, y'all. Have faith in God. For surely I say to you, whosoever says to this mountain, be thou removed, and be cast in the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes those things which he says shall come to pass, he shall have whatever he says. Therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you will have them. And whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive him, for your Father which is in heaven may also forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father in heaven forgive your trespasses. Now, there's principles here. It says you got to have faith in God. God didn't say you can't do what I. Jesus didn't say you can't do. I do. This is a deity trick. It was between me and the Father, cursing and fixing, speaking this stuff. He said you got to have the God kind of faith. So if you're going to have faith for healing, it has to be the God kind. The same kind of faith that he created the worlds with, the same kind of faith that called the things that do not exist into existence. How do you do that? You call in your body well when you're racked with pain. But you're calling your body well because you believe the word, not what you feel and see. You're calling your body well. So go back and think about last week or last 2 weeks. What have you called your body? That means you're not having the God kind of faith. You're having natural human faith, which is based on, or head faith, which is based on sight and sign or feelings. Amen. Somebody say, praise the Lord. And Jesus started the principles of law of faith in verse 23 by saying, whosoever shall say. That means by faith we say things or speak to things. And then in verse 24, he said, whatsoever things you desire when you pray. So there's times to pray and there's things to say. That's principles of faith. How are you praying? What are you saying? And then in verse 25, he tells us also that when you stand praying, forgive. Because faith won't work if you don't forgive. Your faith will never outgrow or outdo your forgiveness. That means if you have a tiny little grudge, if you're mad or upset, offended at somebody, your faith won't work. It reduced to zero because faith works by love. Somebody say, praise the Lord. So he says, say it, but when you pray it, you still have to say it. Because some people pray it down here, or they pray it when we pray at the altar, healing begins, but then they cancel it and change it when they go out of here and start saying, well, I thought I was healed. Oh, man, I need prayer. Give me that Tylenol. And their confession changed, which nullifies and neutralizes and negates that prayer. Woo! Hebrews 11:1 says, now faith is the substance of things. The faith is the assurance, the confirmation, the title deed. I'm doing that to emphasize, of the things that we hope for, being proof of the things we do not see, and the conviction of their reality. Faith perceiving as real fact, not as what is not revealed to the senses. So in other words, you believe more of the word. You're invested more in the word than what you feel and see. We got to stop yelling out how much we hurt. We got to stop screaming out how much our body is controlling our pain. We're supposed to deal with and dominate our body. Yeah, and the Lord says, if you'll do, that pain and that problem will leave from you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. That's what the Holy Spirit said. Just interrupted me. Okay, so this is what faith is. Faith is turning the unseen realities of hope into the seen realities in your life. Faith is proof and evidence, confirmation of something that is not seen and something that is not yet. He said the things that we do not see, and the things that are not yet manifested or materialized. The things we do not see or not yet manifested or materialized. Faith is believing, speaking, and acting on the word of God or a word from God. It is your belief in action and your belief system's investment in the word of God or a word from God and the will of God for your life. God's will is that you be healed. How do you know you're in faith? Well, I'm believing to receive my healing. I'm not just putting up with it and tolerating. And year after year, I get a doctor shoving more pills down my throat. And you think that's normal, but that's being faithless and unfaithful. because we use that physical ailment as an excuse not to serve God completely. We use it not to come to church because it's hurting you or hindering you. Amen. Well, that's kind of a little mean, Pastor. No, I'm not being mean. I'm just trying to get you moving in the right direction. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Somebody say, hallelujah. Faith always knows the outcome. It never hopes that the outcome will turn out favorably. We're all, when you're in faith, the outcome is always fixed. You don't change it or cancel it at what you believe and what your confession is. You stay focused. I believe I received my healing. I'm not changing it. When family members call me up, how you feeling? How you doing? I'm saying the same thing. According to the word of God, I'm healed. I know it because the Holy Spirit tells me. Sometimes we get around family members and we let our hair down. But we let our lip down, basically. We just talk all kind of ways, tell everybody how we're feeling. Oh, and we want people to pity us or feel sorry for us. Well, praise the Lord. Romans 10:17. So faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. This is how faith comes. So we welcome the word in our ears. That means we got to be hearing it. Feeding the Bible is different than reading the Bible. Feeding the Bible means you're reading it out loud to yourself. Your mouth for your spirit is your eardrums. Your mouth for your spirit is your eardrums. You're not physically eating, like it's like you're physically eating food through your mouth to get to your body for nourishment, right? You're feeding your spirit through your ears for nourishment. But you feed through your ears the word of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing, that means not having heard. We can't live off of last year's healing message. I heard that before. Are you hearing it now, and is it fresh now for your need now? Praise the Lord. So you welcome God's word in your ears with high reverence and high regard in your attention. Second, you welcome the word of God into your heart. But why? Why do I say that? Because the word for you is different than the word in you. We've been teaching healing all month. That's the word for us at Triumphant Word Christian Center. For every member, friend, partner, and faith partner of Triumphant Word Christian Center, healing is the word for you. But if you do a poll with everybody, the healing word is not yet in them. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. God has to get things in you in order to get things to you. That means faith won't work just out of your head. It has to work from your heart. He has to get the word down into your heart. So the word has to hit your ears to get to your spirit, but then it has to get into your heart where it becomes your word, your promise, your victory, your healing. Amen. Third, the word has to get into motion. Our faithful practices of speaking the word and confessing the word. We handed out healing, God's word for healing, little placards. I got mine in my Bible. But you should be reading and feeding healing scriptures today. That means healing is coming out of your mouth. And we said if faith is not strong enough to move your mouth, it'll never be strong enough to move your mountain. All right. And then Mark 11:23-24, we just read it. For surely I say unto you, whosoever says to this mountain, be removed, be thou cast in the sea, does not doubt in his heart, but shall believe those things he says shall come to be done, he will have whatever he says. Therefore I say unto you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. Somebody say, praise the Lord. So what are we saying? This is how faith is released. Now what do I give you? ABCs of faith. We're talking about faith of healing. Faith works the same in any area, any sphere, or any realm. So it'll work in the healing realm just as well as the financial realm. You got to know what faith is. You got to know how faith comes, and you got to know how to release your faith. Faith could be in your heart, but not in your working in your life because you hadn't released it yet. You have to set faith into motion. And the first thing that Jesus said, whosoever shall say. So that is the initial or essential aspect of faith. You have to say it. You have to get into the motion by saying, I'm going to have $1,000 extra by the end of April. It's been in your heart. It came. You received it on three levels, in my ears, in my heart, and now I'm putting it in motion in my life. Then I'm going to release it. Woo! You got to become skilled at this, ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters. Faith is released by saying it and by praying it. But we said if you pray it, you still have to say it. You release your faith. You turn your faith loose, so to speak. And you open the door for the Lord to work on your behalf. E.W. Kenyon said it this way. Faith confessions create the reality. So some things, some pain, some problems, you just have to confess and speak the word and drive that thing out of your body. How long are you going to put up with it? How long are you going to take 10 to 15 pills a day? Take the word of God and get that out of your body. Some people aren't hurting enough. They're just hurting just enough to be able to stand it and go whine and beg to the doctor. I'm still feeling this. I'm still hurting here. I'm still doing this. This is a little pain. And we feel like they're their God and not our Father when he's our healer. Somebody say hallelujah. Confession builds the road over which the faith carries its mighty cargo. Amen. Somebody say praise the Lord. Now, I want to introduce to you something that we talked about a little bit on Wednesday, if you were there with us. But I want the Holy Spirit was working with me this week and really helping me see some things and hear some things about humility and healing. Everybody say humility and healing. All right, so we're going to go to the next slide, guys. Next slide. Let's look at this scripture that we always kind of look at for prayer. It's in 1st, 2nd Chronicles 7:14. It says, if my people, so this is a condition. Now, Solomon's talking to the Lord, and Solomon is dedicating things to the Lord, the temple, and God is talking to him, and he's talking about things that would come to him, because Solomon wants to know, are you going to help us if this happens, if that happens, if that happens? And we got to realize that we have a covenant with God. But 2 Chronicles 7:14 says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves, everybody say humble themselves, and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, and then, when? Then, after four things, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and... Pastor, I thought they was talking about prayer. No, he's talking about healing. The emphasis we're making today on this verse and introducing to you about this verse is the aspect of healing. God is answering the prayer and supplication of King Solomon on the behalf of the nation of Israel. So the Lord is telling them if there's a problem with enemies attacking, if you read the whole context, if any enemies attack you, I'll help you. If there's problems with famine, if there's problem with drought, if there's a problem with pestilence. Now, I know I misspelled it. It should have been P-E-S-T-I-L-E. But you understand what I'm talking about. Pestilence. So pestilence is, in the Hebrew, defined in the Strong's Concordance as plagues. Some of us think this stuff flying in the air. Bugs. No, pestilence is plagues. Pestilence is diseases. Pestilence is sickness. When you're working with the Heavenly Father and the Lord Jesus, you got to know your benefits. We just read that first scripture, right? Bless the Lord, O my soul. Forget not all his Benefits. What's his benefits? He's going to help you if you've got enemies. He's going to help you against famine, against drought. He's going to help you against pestilence. And in Romans, it says, what shall separate is one of the seven things that Paul, by the Holy Spirit, lists. What shall separate you from the love of Christ? Shall pestilence or famine? Same thing. Jesus just enhanced the covenant and carried it on through the New Testament. God is a healer. So pestilence means the physical sickness, this physical sickness, disease. So there's physical healing in this verse in 2 Chronicles 7:14. So everybody say, thank you, Lord. It's not just prayer, but before prayer, God invites and tells us to humble ourselves. What's the first thing he said? I got to highlight it or underscore it there. If my people called by my name, everybody say, he's talking about us, will do what? Before you even pray. Too often people jump right into prayer. And they pray out ahead of their faith, but more importantly, pray out ahead of their humility. They don't get themselves out of the way. They call it prayer. They're talking to God. They're saying, this is a problem. This is a problem, God. You know this thing hurts. You know this thing is bothering me. And humble themselves. They're praying out of frustration or fear and not faith. Because faith humbles itself and does things according to the word of God or a word from God for your life. I'm going to do it your way, Lord. I'm going to obey you. Hallelujah. So people jump right into prayer. Pray for me. And they do it with a kind of an arrogant or demanding tone. And they completely missed the humble part of this verse. Did you know we can still do that today? We can pray without humbling ourselves. The problem comes and we're not hearing from the Holy Spirit. We're not listening to him or getting a word from our heart or a Holy Spirit leading in our life. And we feel like, I know what I'm doing. I know what I'm supposed to say. I know what I'm supposed to pray. And so we start hurling out stuff. Oh, praise the Lord. Did you understand that you can, do you understand that you can pray and pray and pray, and if your heart's not right, you won't get results or you won't get answers? You can go through the motions of seeking God and making confessions even. But if your heart's not right, if you have haughtiness, arrogance, and pride in your heart, it does you no good. You see sometimes people having a problem and they feel, if I just go pick a few devotions and go through them, it's going to make my situation better. Not if you don't humble yourself. That may be some scriptures in there that can help you and the Lord can use to help you get through that situation. But just because you go through a devotion, just because you read the Bible, just because you make confession, if your heart's not humble, remember, what does faith take? What grace is made available? Who gets the grace? The humble. And what's in that grace category? Healing. Healing's a grace. You can't say, well, I confessed the word 10, 15 times. Something should have happened by now. Humble themselves. Humble themselves. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Who's in charge of the humility department? Everybody, come on. Who's in charge of your humility department? Everybody say, I am. Now, here's what Jesus said in Matthew. This is what Jesus said. Matthew 13, 14, 15. We got it. There it is. And in them, the prophecy of Isaiah was fulfilled, which saying, hearing they will hear and shall not understand, and seeing you will see and not have proceed. Now, this quote from Isaiah is mentioned in at least four different times in the New Testament. I think it's six total in the Bible. So God is basically communicating to us, a lot of people are having this issue that they what? They hear, but they don't understand. They see, but they don't perceive. They don't get it. For the hearts of these people have grown dull. Underline that. Their hearts are hard of hearing. Their ears are hard of hearing. Oh, my goodness. And their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, and that they have, lest they should understand with their hearts and turn so that I should heal. This is healing again, that I should heal them. Now look at verse 15 in the King James, because that's where it originally came from. It says, for the people's heart wax gross. Everybody say wax gross. And their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and should understand with their heart and should be converted. Everybody say converted. Then I should heal them. That means God says there's something for us to do. So he can do what he wants to do. Hallelujah. Now, what is that word wax gross? You see it? Being thick. We used to joke back in the day, thick-headed. Fat. Now, don't think colloquial culture. That's not a good expression. This is a negative expression. When people's hearts are at gross, they're thick, they're fat, they have no feeling or sensitivity. It means to be a thickness of flesh. That means you're so thick in how you feel. And what you think about it, it's hard for you to change. It's hard for you to get out of the way. Converted means to turn. Worship the true God, change, making the necessary adjustments, return to hear and receive the truth and repent. And we've said it this way. If we want changes outside, there has to be changes first inside, in your heart and mind. We've been around over 20 years as a church. I've seen people go decades and don't change. Thickness. Thickness of flesh. We call it hard-hearted, hard-headed, thick-head. And so we say, you know, our first conversion is to Christ, devoting our love and loyalty to him. In other words, we choose to live all of life under the lordship of and leadership of Jesus Christ, our Lord. That means when you say he is Lord, that means He's the one who decides for you. He's the one who gets to tell you what to do and how to decide. Some people hadn't left that control up to the Lord. Because Lord means controller, ruler, master, owner. When you say Jesus is Lord, that means he controls me. He owns me. He's the master of my life. I check with my master. I'm the slave. I'm the servant, he's the master. I don't decide for myself, I let him decide. That's the first conversion. Many people want Jesus as Savior, but they don't take him and receive him as Lord. That means your life, your love, your loyalty is to him. He's first. Not your family, not your flesh. He's first. And then our conversion to the church. Everybody said to the church. Our conversion to the church, that's our second conversion. Some say, well, I was converted 20, 30, 40, 50 years ago, Pastor. Yeah, but there's many conversions. Jesus is telling us, don't let your heart grow dull and your ears grow dull. Wax gross. Our conversion to church is our membership, our partnership, our fellowship to the body of Christ in the local church. We grow in our love and loyalty to the church. We keep falling in love with the church more and more. We want to do things each and every year, bigger, better, and broader for the church and in the church. Your serving doesn't slow down and decrease. Your serving speeds up and increases. Somebody say, praise the Lord. We're not trying to back out and retire from the will of God or the work of God for our lives. We convert to the church. So next week when we celebrate, hey, I'm falling in. I'm recommitting to the church. Amen. We protect the unity and godly community of our church. We live and love others in the local church family. Then our conversion to the causes of Christ. The Lord wants us to engage in loving and forgiving and caring for others in the church. The Lord wants us to fulfill the great commandment, the great commission, and the great commitment. The Lord wants us to execute our assignments, our responsibilities, our roles in harmony, in unity, in synergy, in one accord, with one mind and one heart. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Somebody say, praise the Lord. The Lord wants us to honor and God and honor his word and honor each other and honor those who are over us in the Lord. We can't never get the big head or the big britches where we feel like I can choose not to give. I've given enough over 10, 15 years. We should be giving bigger and better. Okay. All right. I'll make sure everybody's still with me. Somebody say, praise the Lord. I should be serving bigger, better, more excellently, right? Because yesterday's excellence is tomorrow's mediocrity. That means I'm serving up. I'm stepping up. Not because we went 20 years, hey, we did a good job. Now can we back off? You serve bigger. You serve better. Hallelujah. Come on, who's with me today? All right, turn with me to Philippians 2. I'm going to read that out of Passion Translation because I think they have that up there. At the bottom. Philippians 2, I'm going to read out of Passion Translation, so go along with me. Verse 1, Philippians 2, 1 through 4. Look at how much encouragement you found in your relationship with the Anointed One. Talking about Jesus. You are filled to overflowing with his comforting love. You have experienced a deepening friendship with the Holy Spirit and have felt the tender affection of his mercy and mercy. Look at verse 2. Listen to this very closely. So I'm asking you, my friends, that you be joined together in perfect unity with one heart, one passion, and united with one love. Walk together with one harmonious purpose, and you will fill my heart with unbounding joy. Look at this, verse 3. Now, why does he have to tell this? Because he has to tell us this. Be free from pride-filled opinions, for they will only harm your cherished unity. Don't allow self-promotion to hide in your hearts, but in authentic humility, put others first and view others as more important than yourself. Unfortunately, you find Christians who find their way and their self and their preferences take a bigger role in their life. They become more selfish, self-centered, self-serving. But this verse says, do the opposite. It says, look at verse 4, abandon every display of selfishness. Possess a greater concern for what matters to others instead of your own interests. That's why we teach you these small practices, like when you come to church, you should pray this prayer regularly. Lord, make me a blessing. In other words, it takes your mind and your motive off of you being blessed, getting a blessing. Because you can take a blessing and miss a blessing. Or you can be a blessing and receive a bigger blessing. Somebody say, praise the Lord. It happened to a lady in Joel Osteen's church. She was really sick and she needed to talk to the pastor. And it was a 30-day wait to get on his list. But the Lord told her, why don't you, while you're waiting, go do what you do best. Cook some cookies. So she cooked some cookies and started taking it to other people's house and just being a blessing. And 6 weeks later, she missed her appointment. Pastor Joel Osteen looked at her at one of the doors coming out. She said, "Sister, I thought we had an appointment." "Oh, I just forgot about that. I'm better now." Because when she started being a blessing, she got her blessing. She got her healing. Say praise the Lord. What does people, when you become selfish, you think about who? Your three favorite people. Me, myself, and I. You only talk about who? What's going on with me? What's wrong with me? What's wrong with my problem? Hallelujah. Somebody say hallelujah. So, pride, thank you guys, hinders you from seeing. That's what Jesus said. And what you need to see. And hearing what you need to hear. I asked the Lord. Are y'all still here with me? I asked the Lord, okay, how come it's so difficult for some people to receive? I'm praying, I'm preaching, I'm giving everything I give to the people. He said some people have blindness or deafness because of the P word. Pride. See, humility enables you to make changes and adjustments. Pride hinders you from making changes and adjustments. Because he gave me a visual. Somebody come down for prayer. They're not willing to change anything about them. They just want God to do everything. That's not what? Humbling myself. They think I'm right. I don't need to make any changes. I don't need to make any adjustments. I'm just as righteous. I come to church. I pay my tithes. I'm good. Whoever said your good works makes you deserve to be healed. So why do we think that? My good works, I deserve to be healed. I deserve God's help. Because see, God's grace is God's help. God's grace is God's strength. God's grace is God's healing. God's grace is his favor. What makes you think you can get the favor just because you do good works? Oh, praise God. See, pride blinds. Humility sees because it's converted, repentant, correctable, teachable. The more humble you are, the more teachable and correctable you are. The more prideful you are, the less teachable and correctable and less receptive to the changes and making adjustments. Some Christians are so full of pride that even at the slight suggestion that they might need to change or correct some things, they get offended. And sometimes the Lord has withheld me from saying it. He said, don't say it because they're going to get offended. And me and the Lord, you know, our position is I'd rather help you than hinder you. Somebody say, praise the Lord. See, your humility is best protection against deception. And self-deception is bigger than satanic. Self-deception is bigger than satanic deception. I'll say it one more time. Self-deception, self-deluded Christian thinking, I'm okay, I'm good because I pay my money. You can't pay off God. You can't bribe God to get healed or to get help. Because he said, the earth is the Lord's, the fullness thereof. The cattle on a thousand hills is his, the silver and gold is his. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Let's keep some more. We got a little bit more. You got 10 minutes. Everybody good? All right. Let's look at some, I got some more statements. Pride is obsessed with self, focused on self, and loves to talk about self. Are y'all seeing some things here today? When humility is absent, God will do nothing for the believer. Because God resists who? The proud. Gives grace to them. So scriptures indicate that when humility is lacking, God runs the other way. Where humility isn't, pride is. I remember when Brother Hagin used to tell those stories. He said, when people come down to the altar and they get mad because a new Christian, baby Christian, or people are backslidden sinner, backslidden Christian, excuse me, that's not serving God, not loving God, not coming to church, not giving his tithes or anything, and he gets healed, and the other person has been sitting in church for 40 years in their pride and arrogance, they get mad. How come this person got healed? How come not I'm healed? And they would say this, I'm the best Christian in this church, ask anybody. And when you start thinking, I give the most money in this church, I'm the best Christian in this church, I've been here the longest. Who are you promoting? Oh, am I helping anybody this morning? Pride, strength of sin. Guys, check my mic because it keeps popping off. Pride is the strength of sin and selfishness. That's why God resists and opposes it and those who operate in it. Pride is always causes relational conflicts and disunity in the house of God or your church, in your house and your church house. You get somebody in pride, who are they trying to promote? Themselves. That's why people fight and argue at the house. And when you fuss, you can fuss away the anointing and the grace to heal you at the house. Look at Psalms 34:2. My soul shall make its boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear. Who? The humble shall hear of it. And Psalm 69:32, the humble shall see. What's the scripture telling us? The humble's going to hear. The humble's going to see. Because I know the struggle sometimes when you're sitting around trying to figure out, how am I going to fix this? How am I going to get through this problem? The doctor says there's no way you can fix it. You've got to go through surgery or it's a terminal condition. And you're sitting up there trying to figure it out with the doctor when you hadn't went to the Lord. Humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. What's a wicked way? Thinking that we smarter than God. That his word doesn't work. I tried that healing stuff. It doesn't work. Daniel 5:20, look at this. But it's talking about Nebuchadnezzar. His heart was hardened and his mind was in pride. Look at this. But when his heart was lifted up and his mind hardened in pride, he was deposed from his kingly throne. And they took his glory from him. In the New King James, it says his spirit was hardened with pride. Did you know your spirit can be hardened with pride? Where you don't hear, that means you don't get revelation. The revelation of healing, that healing belongs to you. Healing is the will of God. That healing is available now. It's accessible now. But your heart hardened with pride and your mind lifted up with arrogance, you won't see it. You won't hear it. You walk out of here and still think, I got to try to get healed. And the doctor's, he's waiting for you because he's thinking, come on, baby, another bill. I can pad my retirement. Oh, praise. Come on, y'all. I'm not trying to be rude or crude, but it's reality. Obadiah 3, there's only one chapter. It says, the pride of your heart has deceived you. Now, what did we say? Humility is your best protection. Your humility, not mine, because you're in charge of your own humility department. Not mine. Your humility is your best protection against deception. Look at what it says. The pride of your heart has deceived you. You who dwell in the clefts of the rock, whose habitation is high. You who say in your heart, this is what they're saying in their heart, inside of them, who will bring me down to the ground? What hot pride go before destruction? Haughty spirit before fall, right? When you see pride, we see that pride is a hardening, blinding, dulling, deafening, deceiving, and desensitizing effect on you. Humility will open you up to be sensitive, to see more, to hear more clearly, and have a mind that is more receptive to receive correction, adjustment, and changes. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Now, we're going to go through these three people, but I'm going to spend the time on Job. So next slide, please, guys. Y'all good? Come on, keep your faith up. Keep your utterance on, because God has, he has this to give to you. Everybody good with it? All right. So you can read those scriptures, Naaman the leper. You see one of it. These are people, these are cases that people who humble themselves obeyed and received healing. Now, leprosy was an incurable condition. Now, here's a Syrian captain who was not a covenant man, and he was told by the prophet Elisha, go dip in Jordan 7 times. Now, he got mad, right? Didn't he get mad? And he first was in pride. Many times people who are angry, listen to me, are in the P word, P-R-I-D-E. They are selfish and stubborn and resist and refuse to make changes and adjustments to their faith and their approach to receiving God. So his servant had to talk to him. Master, if he'd have told you to do something hard, you would have did it. But you're angry because he told you to dip in a muddy river. Now, he went down and tripped down, and we know he dipped 7 times, and he came up completely, somebody say, healed. So we would say he humbled himself. Everybody say, I got to humble myself. Now, we know, I'm not going to read this one either. Matthew 15, 21 through 28, you can read it. She said, the devil is tormenting my daughter. She's sick. That means she needed healing. She needed deliverance. And God said, I can't take the children's bread because she was Greek. She was not in a covenant again. She was Greek, Syrophoenician woman. He said, I can't take the children's bread and give it to the dogs. So in other words, she called her a dog because she was outside the covenant. Now, most people got offended and went off stomping. But see, they went off stomping without their blessing. But she said, Lord, Master, but the dogs eat the crumbs from the master's table. She changed her approach. She began to worship and get low. And he said, woman, great is your faith. Go your way. The devil has gone out of your daughter. Somebody say, praise the Lord. What did she do? She humbled herself. Now, the last one, hang in there with me. We're going to explore Job because most people misunderstand Job. Because I've heard people even say, well, Job, I'm just like Job. I'm going through a hard time. Seems like everything is happening to me. But some people think God did him wrong. How did God let him do that? God let him down. They look at the 42 chapters of Job and think that he suffered for a whole lifetime, when most Bible scholars and historians estimate it was less than a year. Most of them say 9 to 10 months. That whole ordeal, 42 chapters. Now, Moses wrote the book of Job, so it's before his time, but he was the first one real prominent figure Moses brought out for us to learn from. And sometimes we look at it and we learn the wrong lessons. But Job got into fear, chapter 3, and his words got all crazy, and he let down his own hedge. But then what happened as a result of him losing his family, him losing his kids, him losing his servants, him losing his livestock, his losing his livelihood, and losing his health, eventually, now he gets really upset. His wife said, you need to curse God and die. And she walked out. So he begins a process where his friends came to him, and y'all know the story. Go back and read it. It's a good book. I like reading Job. But when did Job get into bitterness and complaining and griping? In chapter 7, we pick it up and says, therefore, I will not refrain my mouth. Now, some people say at the house, I'm going to say what I'm going to say. They don't put a muzzle on their mouth. They say, I got to say what I got to say. And they speak with, and he said, I will speak with anguish of my spirit. I will complain in the bitterness of my soul. Now, what does Ephesians 4:29 tell us? Let all bitterness, there's different kinds of bitterness, but let all bitterness. Bitterness comes from a response to pain. You're not nursing the pain or rehearsing the pain, which are not good. You're not reversing the pain. You're cursing the pain. You're speaking evil about your own pain, your own problem. And we mustn't let a root bitterness and a root of bitterness spring up, because the Bible says in Hebrews it will trouble you and defile your mouth and your mind with pride. You'll say, I got a right to complain. All this stuff that's happening. I got a right to fuss. I got the right to cry and gripe and grumble. The children of Israel got killed and got destroyed because they complained. They brought out a complaint. When did Job get into pride? Look at chapter 13, verse 15. I think I got him up there. It says, though he slay me. A lot of misquoted verses here that people use. Though he slay me, yet will I trust him. So you hear people say that, or they people use that at funerals. And even so, I will defend my own ways. What is that? I will defend my own ways. So this is often a misquoted verse. This is Job claiming that he was going to prove. When he says, I'm going to defend, I will defend my own ways. It's the Greek word or Hebrew word that I'm going to prove himself right. And I'm going to argue with God. This is Christian. Now, if you look at Job in the beginning, the historians and scholars say, estimate he was a multi-billionaire. This is a man with means, a man with money. When Job came to the elders at the gate, everybody else stopped talking. Because here's Mr. Multi-billionaire. We want to hear what he has to say. He lost everything. And he's saying here, I'm going to prove myself that I did nothing wrong to deserve this. I'm going to argue with God about this. Everybody's quiet because they know what I'm talking about. And in other words, he was becoming argumentative and justifying himself and not humbling himself. Because, see, some people think Job was messed up. Job was done wrong. God punished Job. He's punishing me. But look at what Proverbs 13:10 says. Only by pride comes contention, but the well-advised is wisdom. In the New Living, it says pride leads to conflict. Those who talk it, but those who take advice are wise. So some people who are going through some anguish and bitterness in their life, they just want to argue and prove I did nothing wrong. I've defended myself. I got to be correct. And in Job 23:3, listen to this, 23:3-4. Oh, that I knew that I might find him, that I might come to his seat, that I would present my case before him and fill my mouth with arguments. He's talking about with God. See, the Lord, if the Lord shares something with you, with us, to correct us or change, when we argue with him, what is that evidence of? The P word. Pride. Some people try to do it with me. They try to tell me this is what's going on, and they try to prove that I did everything right. Why is everything going wrong? Can't tell you nothing. Because you're defending yourself. You're not humbling yourself. There was a story in 2 Chronicles 36, 11 through 12. Now listen to this story. You can read it. I'm not going to turn to it because we're out of time. But Jeremiah, the prophet, came to King Zedekiah. And Jeremiah came to King King Zedekiah became king at the age of 21, but the Bible says he did evil in the sight of the Lord. He did evil in the sight of the Lord, and it said he did not humble himself when Jeremiah came to deliver the word of the Lord to him, because he just looked at Jeremiah as this crazy prophet trying to tell me something. Or you might say to this crazy pastor trying to tell me something. Sometimes we don't humble ourselves to receive the mouthpiece and the vessel that God is sending to you. And what happened? He only reigned for 11 years. He short-lived. 21 to 11. How old was he when he died? 32. He didn't humble themselves. Because some people say, well, I ain't rejecting God. I'll listen to God. But they don't listen to their pastor. They don't follow the instructions of their pastor. Because they don't take notes. They don't write down what the Holy Spirit is telling them. Well, let me keep going. Let's keep going. We're almost done, right? See, if we like to argue with our spouse or our family or fuss with others, what's working in us? When we don't, did you know that we can fuss away and argue away the anointing and the power of God from our lives? We can defuse the healing power that's at work in our spirit. We can go through fussing and arguing and contention and strife and remove God's grace of healing. Now, what happened? How did Job get things turned around? Everybody say he repented. He humbled themselves. Look at chapter 42, verse 5 and 6. I think I might have it up there. Yes, I do. I've heard of you by the hearing of ear, but now my eye sees you. So he humbled himself. And, you know, God had to shake him up and talk to him. But he had to change. Yes. I hear you, God. Now, that's what we should be saying today. I hear you, God. I hear you, Lord. I see you, Lord. Amen? And he said, now, therefore, I, what? Abhor myself and what? Repent in dust and ashes. Come on, y'all, lift your hands up and thank God. He humbled himself and repented. He prayed for his friend because God told him, you're going to pray for your friends. Because the Lord had to restore his friends, but also restored him, and he gave him twice as much. Now, he was a billionaire. Now, he was a multi-billionaire. Because we see the scripture, Job 4:22 at the bottom. And the Lord restored Job's losses, and he prayed for his friends. Indeed, the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before. Yes. Stand to your feet. Mando boste TTCT. And I'm here to restore and to bring back things that you've lost and much, much more. I'm here to restore and bring back things that you've lost or that have been taken from you and much, much more. If you'll give ear to me and humble thyself before me, you'll see the grace come flooding and flowing into thee. Removing the pain, the turmoil, the strife, and lifting you up and promoting you, yes, now in this life. Take heed what I've said to thee and apply this into your heart humbly. And you'll see that thing that you've been facing and dealing with turn to victory. Thank you, Jesus.